There was once a mashulach who was going around a very nice neighborhood with lots of big houses looking to collect money for, I'm sure, what was a worthy cause. And he gets to a particularly big house. He's excited. He sees the potential, based at least on the size of the front door. And he knocks on the door. And as it happens, the man of the house was not home. But the woman of the house, she happened to be home. And like all of us, you know, sometimes we have a bad day. We're not always, you know, most excited anyway to get a knock on the door, especially if we've had a long, hard day and maybe we're single parenting or something. So she was a little bit upset in front of anyway. She opens the door, of course, not at all surprised. She sees the mashulach there. And before he can even get out a word or anything, she knows, she sizes him up. And immediately she loses her temper and she yells at him. And she says, I've never met you once in my entire life. And you expect me to give charity to someone I don't even know, I haven't even seen? She slams the door on him. But our enterprising fundraiser was unbowed. And instead of sulking away or just complaining, he walks around the block once, twice, three times, looks at his watch. And after it's been 15 minutes, he goes back to the same house and he knocks on the door again. And now the woman comes down. She's surprised by the knock, but she looks through the peephole. And again, she sees it's the same person. Enraged. She once again opens the door and again starts screaming at him, I never met you in my entire life. Can you really expect me to give tzedakah to someone I've never even seen before? Didn't I already explain my policy to you? The mashulach slowly begins to smile and he calmly responded, I understand your policy completely, but you forgot one small thing. You do know me. In fact, we just met 15 minutes ago. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky uses this cute anecdote as a metaphor to explain what seems to be a curious repetition in the slichos that we'll be saying so many times between now and Yom Kippur. Kedalim ucharashim dafaknu delasecha. Like beggars, like paupers, we knock on your door. Delasecha dafaknu rachum v'chanun. Like paupers, we knock. Please, Hashem, have mercy and compassion on us. Question is obvious. There seems to be an unnecessary repetition. Dafaknu delasecha, delasecha dafaknu. What is going on? Why do we have to knock a second time? Not once, but twice. Surely the Rabbono Shalom remembers. Surely the Rabbono Shalom heard us the first time. And he explains that before we can come and ask anything of the Rabbono Shalom, first we must make sure that he knows who we are. Just as the Mashulach first had to introduce himself to what he was hoping would be his potential benefactor so he could solicit a donation, so too we have to reacquaint ourselves with the Rabbono Shalom. We come together tonight for Slichos after a long and difficult year, which followed a long and difficult half a year. And the reality is, when we look back on the challenges of life in general, and especially the unique challenges of the last year, it's perhaps possible for some of us that we haven't been as close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we should be. And therefore, we begin this momentous and significant period of the year where we know literally our lives are hanging in the balance, our parnasa is hanging in the balance, everything we value for ourselves and our families hanging in the balance. And the first thing we have to do is we have to reintroduce ourselves to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dafaknu delasecha. Only once we've reacquainted ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once we have re-engaged in that intimate, personal level, as it were, kaviyachol, then we're ready the second time. D'lasecha dafachnu, please, there's so many things I need, so many things my family needs. Rachum v'chanu. What emerges from this beautiful explanation of Rav Kamenetsky is that the essence of so much of our avoda during the Yom and the Rayim involves feeling the presence of the Rabbono Shel Olam in our lives. And we have to be real about it. If we want to truly be the kind of person who has a right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things, we need to, as he pointed out so powerfully, we need to introduce ourselves. We need to reintroduce ourselves. We have to have that meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we can start rattling off all of our needs. This time of year, more than any other, is about experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, the Kirvas Elokim, and reestablishing a relationship with Him. Perhaps the most significant tone setter for this ambitious and oftentimes elusive goal paradoxically comes from something which, from a halachic perspective, is perhaps certainly in competition for the least important thing we do, L'David Hashem Ori. A relatively recent minhag wasn't even universally accepted throughout Klal Yisrael, though it certainly increased in popularity over the generations, and certainly it is our minhag to say it twice a day, every day, from Elul through Shemini Atzeres. So despite its very, very humble beginnings as a part of the liturgy, I think there's no question the reason it has taken on such a significant and outsized impression in people's minds is because so many of the psukim, so many of the phrases in this Perek of Tehillim, Perek of Zayin, are so beautiful, and they really speak to our hearts, and they speak to what we're going through and hopefully experiencing during this time period. One of the important questions that many thoughtful mefarshim have asked on this Perek in Tehillim, on this incredibly powerful mizmor that we say, is that we seem to contradict ourselves. And we seem to be playing a game with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the one hand, we say in the most famous pasuk in the entire Perek, Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem osa avakesh, shivti me'es Hashem kol yimei chayai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I only want to ask for one thing. I'm not going to ask for too many things. I'm not going to ask for the whole world. I understand and get my one wish with my magic genie, only one wish. Achas sho'alti. And yet what happens in the very subsequent psukim, immediately thereafter, we rattle off a whole sort of list of other things that we want. Lachzos b'nom Hashem, levakir b'heichalo. We talk about, if God forbid, there will be bad days, b'yom ra, yastireini b'seisir ohalo, ata yarm roshi, shma Hashem koli, ekra v'chaneini v'aneini. And if we recall the psukim before Achas sho'alti, we had already asked for some things. So is it one or is it many? If we have a lot of things to ask for, we should at least have the guts, we should at least have the integrity to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's so many things I want. And if there really only is one thing, there should be one thing. This seems like the classic manipulative game that our kids sometimes play with us. But we wouldn't fall for it. Why would we expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fall for it? And shouldn't we have more integrity than that? Shouldn't David HaMelech have had more integrity than that? What's going on? So one answer, a beautiful answer, is suggested by the Nesiv HaShalom. And he says, Eina Chanami, we're asking for many, many things. We're asking for gezunt, we're asking for good health, we're asking for parnasa, we're asking for shalom, we're asking for all sorts of things. But you know why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Achas sho'alti. I deserve, I hope you'll feel me deserving of all those things, because what am I going to do with all of them? I'll use all of them as part of my avodas Hashem. I'll use all of them as part of my desire to become close to you, of my shifti v'veis Hashem. I don't just want a parnassus so that I can go take a fancy vacation. I'm not asking for parnassus so I can buy a second or a third luxury car. I'm asking for sufficient parnassus so I can raise my children, that I can pay for the proper chinuch, that I can give them the things that they need to grow, raise them. I'm asking for good health, not so that I can just lounge around on a beach somewhere. I'm asking for good health so I can serve you. We know that Rahman al-Islam, when someone is sick, aside from all the other more obvious problems, but when you're so preoccupied, Rahman al-Islam, with the pain or the discomfort of being sick, who has the headspace for dafyomi? Who has the headspace to have a serious Shimon Esrei? Sometimes when you need it the most, when you're in pain and you're distracted. So we say, give us all these good things, says Nesiv HaShalom, so that, achas sho'alti, so that I can use all of them for a purpose. What a beautiful answer, and something we should all think about as we, understandably, over the next few weeks, are asking for all the things that we ask for. The Malbim gives a beautiful answer as well, which is in some ways the exact opposite of the Nesiv HaShalom. Says the Malbim, true, I have all these other things that I want, but achas sho'alti, I'm only going to ask for one thing. Shifti b'veis Hashem. Why? Amar lefanav Rabbanu Shel Olam, lo yehei Excuse me, wrong quote. Ki b'sheila zu, excuse me. Ki b'sheila zu klulim kol ha-shelos. Shal yada agia l'kol ha-tzrachim ha-pratiyim. I understand, says the Malbim, that if I'll just be close to you, that will be the source of all of the other brachos. Of course, as holy and as pure as hopefully we are, we do need other things. Just being close to Hashem, but don't I still need a parnasa? It's good to be close to Hashem. It's good to have a good davening. It's good to be a tzaddik. It's good to be able to learn. But I still need other things. Enoch Hanami says the Malbim. But I understand that the solution to all of them is the Kirbas Elohim. If I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm living a life that genuinely brings me close to Him, then Memela, I will get all those things. It's like something that I often mention on Tisha B'Av, that the Chavetz Chaim often would say that when people were davening, especially for refuah or other things, say they have so much kavana on Rifa'enu or Berech Aleinu in the Shemar Esrei, they make a mistake. They should have their most kavana on the brachos of Geula. Because if we had the Geula, then the Memela, they'd have the refuah and the Parnasa. It's a similar thing here, says the Malbim. It's really Acha Shoalti, so that hopefully Hashem, if I have close to Him, Memela, I'll get all the other things. But I want to conclude by sharing with you a third approach from one of the great, great Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas of our generation. He's still alive. He's 90 plus years old. Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, Shalita. And he explains by first quoting an incredible Medrash, and the Medrash Tehillim on our Perek reframes this question in an even sharper way than we've asked it until now. The Medrash itself says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out David HaMelech for his cynicism, his game playing. You started off saying you're going to ask for one thing, then you're asking for many things. What's going on? But the Medrash, and this is an unbelievable Medrash, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after having given David HaMelech this Musar, this Tochacha, how dare you? You tell me you only want one thing, and you ask for many things. Says the Medrash that David HaMelech, Kaviyachol, stared HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in the eye. He didn't even blink for a second. And he responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous Azus the Kedusha, with tremendous holy chutzpah. Amar lefan of Bona Shalolam, Lo yehe eved shava l'rabo. Should I be any worse than you? Should I be any less worthy of the same game playing as you? Who do you think I learned this gimmick from? Who do you think I learned this move from? After all, we know the very famous Pesukim in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Ata Yisra ma Hashem lokecha sho me'imach ki'im. Oh, ki'im. I'm only asking for one thing. Guess what? You said to me, you're only going to ask for one thing. What does Hashem want from you? Ki'im. Hashem says, I only want one thing. And what is that? Lira. Hashem wants us to fear Him. And yet, the Medrash continues in the voice of David HaMelech. V'acharkach patachtu lanu b'mitzvos harbe. Shenemar l'leches b'chol d'racha v'lishmor mitzvosa v'ledovkabo, etc. Really? Really? Hashem only wants one thing from us? If all we do is Yer Shemayim, it's okay. We don't have to worry about the other 612 mitzvos. Who are we kidding? Says David HaMelech, you did it to us. And the incredible final five words of the Medrash, Hevidayo le'eved li'os kirabo. It was good enough for you, God, it's good enough for us. What an unbelievable Medrash. A powerful Medrash. So what's going on? It doesn't really answer the question, it just kind of raises the temperature of the whole conversation. How do we understand this? So Rav Ezrachi explains so powerfully, so beautifully. He says, we're making a mistake. Says achas here in this perek, like ki'im in the parsha, doesn't mean one as a number. It means the minimum. The minimum. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, Ma Hashem Elokecha shol imach ki'im. What's the bare minimum? I, as Avinu Shebashamayim, as your Father in Heaven, what's the bare minimum I need from you? And the interesting thing is, not for now, what was the first thing Hashem thinks, Kaviyachol, that's the bare minimum? Yira. Can't have a relationship between a father and child, a parent and child, without that baseline of respect, the baseline of discipline, yira. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, Lahavda, as any one of us as parents would be thinking, really, as a parent? Right? Again, in those moments where your children aren't listening and you're really frustrated, you know, if you could just take that one thing and it would be the yira, we would sign up for it. But by the next morning, you'd have buyer's regret. Does any parent, does any normal, healthy parent want that their entire relationship should be based on yira? If I told you right now, your children will never disrespect you again, they'll never ignore you again, they'll listen to everything completely. but the entire relationship will be one of Yira. Who would sign up for such a thing? Chas v'shalom. So Akash Baruch Hu realizes, the only thing I'm going to have is Yira. I need more than that. Not because I'm greedy, but because the bare minimum requires more than that. If you have a relationship with your children, the way Akash Baruch Hu wants to have with us, the bare minimum, well, actually, I can't live without that with my children. I can't live without that aspect. So Sefer Mizrachi, we respond, we reciprocate during this month of Yemei HaRatzon V'Harachamim, and we say, Acha Shoal Timeis Hashem, as children, what do we need? Bare minimum. We need a roof over our heads. We need basic help, security. Acha Shoal Tishiftim Beis Hashem Kol HaMechayai. At least give me that bare minimum. But then, as mature children, we realize, one second, is that really enough? You have no relationship with your parents, but at least they don't lock the door when they go to sleep. They let you have a place to sleep. I'll even add, you know, they do the laundry for you. You know, you come in and out, there's no love, there's no relationship. There's just a warm bed and some laundry once a week. Would that be, what child really would want that? What child would be happy with that? And therefore, step by step. And the key point, which is so powerful here, is that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the parent and we as children, in the end, are asking for lots of things, it's genuinely, genuinely coming from a mentality of Acha Shoalti Ki'im. I'm not asking because I'm greedy. I'm not asking because I want many things. I want the minimum. I'm willing to survive with the minimum. But I realize that the minimum is the maximum. I can't imagine the bare minimum I can live with is everything. It's not that I'm greedy. It's I want the bare minimum. But I realize that the bare minimum is to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anything less than that is not mean it's not getting the 100th toy for Hanukkah, the best Afikoman present. It's having anything less than a perfect, ideal, loving, intimate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anything less than that, how can I live with it? That's what we're refocusing on during these days of Rachamim and Ratzon. That's the thing, and I speak for myself first and foremost, that over the vicissitudes of a long year, any year, and especially this past year, so many challenges with Corona, the people, Rachmana Leslan, who have actually had health issues, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, not really in our community, but many people that we know and we love, people who've had Parnassa issues, all the complex issues for every part of the community, the country, yes, mask, no mask, this rule, that rule, no one knows what they're doing, It's complicated, it's been hard, and every one of us have been trying our best, not perfectly, none of us are, but we're all trying our best to figure out individually how to best to lead our families, communally how to best lead our communities, institutionally, and it's so hard, and then all the details and all the mitzvos, it is, this year and perhaps more than ever, so easy to forget the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we take some stock, as we said at the outset of our words, de la secha, de faknu, de la secha. We knock once first to just remind ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need us to reintroduce us to Him. But by doing so, we're really reintroducing Him to us. We need to remember who that is. It's Avinu Shebashamayim. To remember that all the things we've been juggling, all the tension, everything we've been dealing with for the last year plus, don't lose sight of the fact that it's a loving Avinu Shebashamayim, Ki'im, who the bare minimum that He wants from us is everything. He wants to be able to give us everything. He wants to be able to be there for us for everything. But it all comes from a hakara of that we have this relationship. Once we do, then hopefully, yes, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us without any limits, like a normal loving parent. Hopefully that relationship is reciprocated. And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, we have a lot of things we want, a lot of things we need, a lot of things we're going to ask for. But we do it from the perspective of a loving child who understands that the bare minimum we want from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bare minimum we need is to have a maximal relationship with us. We come together tonight, right now, under the beautiful leadership of Yehuda, as we do every year, and we begin by knocking on heaven's door. Not to wake Him up, but hopefully at this late hour, to wake ourselves up to the incredible opportunity we have the incredible relationship we can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mirza Hashem, through that relationship, through being mechazek that relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of Mashalos Libenu Latova.